This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sandy Jacobs. Along with us will be TJ Inman. As we talk Indiana signing, the early signing period, Indiana signed 18 student-athletes yesterday. We'll go through those. We'll talk a little bit about the bowl game, and we'll talk maybe a little bit about the offense coordinator position. But first, a word from our friends over at MyBookie. As true football fans, you already know just as sure as the season changes, Tom Brady will keep the Patriots in the game every weekend. Our favorite gridiron warriors put their skills to the test, so why aren't you doing the same? We're almost through the NFL season, so now is the time to get off the sidelines and get in the game with MyBookie. MyBookie is the premier place to bet on all your favorite pro and college football action every weekend. They always have the most up-to-date lines and the most prop bets of any sports book on the planet. And the best part is, if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right. If you put in $1,000, they'll give you $1,000. That's double your initial deposit you can put on all your favorite picks. Use promo code CHAIR, that's C-H-A-I-R, to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. And now we bring in TJ Inman. TJ, busy day yesterday. How is bowl prep going, and what did you think of Indiana's signing day yesterday?
Yeah, I wish we did not have another week plus to, you know, sit and wait, stew around and wait for Indiana's bowl game, but definitely enjoying looking back on the season and preparing for Tennessee. So we're ready for that. Yesterday, I thought was pretty straightforward signing day. No surprises, good or bad, really, for Indiana. Which, like I said, it's straightforward. You were hoping that a couple of guys, Alante Brown, you were hoping for possibly. It seemed like Kalen DeBoer leaving for Fresno State kind of put the nail in that coffin. Nebraska ends up with him, and then. The only mystery still out there is kind of Jason Harris, the four-star defensive end. Is Indiana able to land him? And he's going to announce at the All-American game. So I thought it was an interesting class. Definitely fills some needs for Indiana, particularly on the offensive line. So I'm excited to get in and then talk about the specifics of that and kind of our – predictions, if you will, that are sure to be probably wrong, but hopefully we'll provide some insight on who Indiana added to the roster.
Yeah, I thought yesterday's class, you know, it ranks 49th in the nation by 247 Sports is a composite ranking. You saw people kind of criticize that, which it is a small class. It's only 18 people right now. They're looking at probably, Tom Allen said yesterday, they're looking at two more spots, one on defense, one on offense. You know, they really want to rush end on defense, and they'll probably take, he said, they'll probably take the best available player on offense as well. So that class, it has a chance to move up, but as a smaller class, when you're usually signing 25 guys, the way that these composite rankings go, you know, the bigger classes get rewarded. You see Kansas State, I think, is at 48. They have 27 signees, but their average star ranking is below IU and things like that. So a lot goes into those rankings. I wouldn't, you know, you definitely want IU to have, you know, better signing classes and better rankings, but I wouldn't read too much into it as far as, you know, as a red flag for IU. And then another, TJ, another silly red flag that people have put out has been that, and I didn't notice this until the question was asked at the press conference, was that Tom Allen's class, there were no Florida signees in this class, which after the last couple classes that were filled with Florida people was a little bit shocking, but you just can't recruit Florida for the heck of saying, hey, we got kids from Florida. You have to take the best players who have the best fit and who actually want to go to IU. If you go get a whole bunch of players from Florida and they don't want to play for IU or, don't fit well with the program, then it's mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. So I don't think that's a huge deal. The bowl game will be good exposure down there. Go on, TJ.
Yeah, three things on that. I'm not an expert on Florida high school football, but experts have said it was not as deep a class as it typically is. Still a ton of talent at the top, obviously, but it was not as deep as it typically is in that class, especially in the areas that IU has kind of been able to develop pipelines to. So that's one factor. Another factor, Indiana did have two guys commit to the class from Florida, Juwan Sparks and Jalen Williams. Issues with those guys, Jalen Williams is still a potential add for this class. He did not sign anywhere. There are some concerns about whether or not he's going to be a qualifier. But Williams could still end up at Indiana, a good tight end prospect, a good athlete. Juwan Sparks, I don't know if he signed anywhere or if he's still looking for a place to play. I think he might have been a qualification concern as well. The third point with that, and I just kind of piggyback off what you said, but Florida typically, and you can criticize this strategy if you want, but Indiana filled this class. And it's a smaller class. They filled a lot of their spots kind of earlier. There were not a lot of late additions to this class. Florida kids typically are not deciding until, later on in the process. So there weren't really any spots for those guys when they are going to be deciding. You could see a couple of Florida kids jump on board here, maybe in the late signing period. That could be where you get some Florida flavor in there, where Indiana is able to pick up a couple of kids later on in the process, which is when Florida players usually make their decisions. So it's still to be determined whether or not there's any Florida players at all, but it's not like IU just went all Midwest. They do have some players from other parts of the country, some players from the South, particularly Georgia and Mississippi with Chris Keys. So, Indiana still definitely went south and got some athletes. But it was a little bit interesting to see. Now, if Indiana goes two or three classes in a row without having much from Florida, then maybe that's something you look at as possibly that well has dried up and you've got to find one someplace else.
Yeah, I think, what people miss, too, is the importance of being able to recruit in-state and building a fan base that way as well. David Baker was the top wide receiver in-state. They landed him. You got Ty Wise out of Carmel, who's up for, Mr. Football Awards as well. You had the guy who's probably going to win Mr. Football, Charlie Spiegel, walked onto the team.
He did win.
You have to be able – Oh, he did win.
Yeah, he won today.
Shows you how much
I've
been. Yeah, I've been in a fog most of the day after a whirlwind day yesterday. But it's – you have to build in-state, too. It's not the Florida mm-hmm. Hoosiers. It's the Indiana Hoosiers. And while it's great getting the talent from Florida, there are going to be years that you're not – it's just not going to happen. That's what happens. I don't think the pipeline is in jeopardy of being lost. It's sometimes, as in everything, that pipeline might be dry, a little drier in some years than others. And so, I think just to say they swung and missed at Florida is kind of, you know, maybe a little ill-informed of who they got. Now, the class overall, TJ, I thought they got a lot of guys who, are developmental depth, and I mean that in the best possible way. Guys that have, and Tom Allen said this during his press conference, was that there's not a guy listed under 6 foot in this recruiting class. There's a lot of length. There's a lot of athleticism. And this coaching staff has proven that they can develop guys. And so they went for the body types that they like, who are good football players as well. But they wanted the athletic long guys, and they got that. And they focused heavily on the offensive line. They got 6 offensive linemen yesterday. And it wasn't just all freshmen. You get Luke Haggard, who's a junior college transfer coming in. He's got 3 years to play, too. You have Dylan Powell, who's a grad transfer from Stanford. He's kind of really like the situation that Nick Linder was in. He got hurt. He sat out the year because of injury. He should have 2 years left if his appeal gets approved with the NCAA. We'll see that they might, who knows when that'll come back. But he might get that year back, so he'll have 2 years. So you got some guys with playing experience who could come in and fill holes on the interior of the line. And then you really got some nice freshman linemen coming in with Luke Wigington, with Brady Feeney, with Randy Holtz is a monster at 6'7", 350, things like that. But they're all guys who probably need a year or two, and they'll benefit from a redshirt year. There's just a lot to like on this. And then the defensive line, you got DeMarjay Lewis, who is a one-time Auburn commit. He's from the South in Georgia, so there's your Southern things. And then Caleb Murphy, too. He's an interesting prospect. He's got that mean streak and could play on the defensive line. He probably is one of those 4-game guys next year, but there's a lot of talent in this group. It's just they need some time to develop, and with the young team that IU has, they're now at that point where they could start redshirting some guys and balancing out classes, because next year is going to probably be a small class as well. I think Allen said they graduate. They only have like 11 juniors in this year's class and things like that. So it's time for IU to start balancing out the classes. And these people calling for, the sky is falling because the IU ranks 49th. But, just need to do a little bit further digging. Let's go through the class a little bit. Who is your sleeper of this class, TJ?
That's such an interesting question to answer, because you have to really define, first of all, who is it that we are thinking is going to stand out as a consensus, because whoever that is technically can't be a sleeper. So somebody like a Rayshon Williams, who's at the top of this class in terms of prospect rankings, cannot be a sleeper. For me, and I don't think necessarily that this guy is going to fly under the radar. You already mentioned his name. Ty Wise, I think, is an underrated linebacker prospect. I look at him in comparison to some other linebacker prospects that Indiana's had, or that have committed to other Big Ten schools. Measurables-wise, I feel like Ty Wise is right there or superior to those players. Production-wise, he's up there. He played at Carmel High School, which is a very, very good football powerhouse here in the greater Indianapolis area. Really good program, very well coached, and a school that Indiana's had some success recruiting here recently. I'm watching Ty Wise particularly play against Center Grove in the state title game and throughout their state playoff run. I think he's going to be a highly productive player for Indiana. And I do think, while linebacker is a spot that Indiana doesn't lose much on at all. I do think that Wise is going to have a chance to step in and contribute as a freshman, not be a starter by any means, but I think he can be in the rotation as a freshman just as a very solid player, and I think he's more athletic than he's given credit for. So I've got to go with Ty Wise. And on the offensive side of the ball, I know we're not picking two, but I think Brady Feeney is going to have an outstanding career for Indiana. He is not related to Dan, so unfortunately there, but I don't think that they are all that far apart in terms of what they could accomplish in Indiana. I'm not calling, oh, Brady Feeney's the next Dan Feeney, no. I do think he can be a really good guard for Indiana, though. He's an interior lineman from St. Louis. I read multiple evaluations that, you know, recruiting expert people in that state said that he was the best offensive line prospect in that city. And I looking at his measurables, looking at kind of the nasty streak that he's described with, I think Brady Feeney could be a multi-year starter for Indiana at guard, and down the line be a potential, you know, all Big Ten interior lineman. So I was really excited that Indiana was able to land him and get him signed yesterday.
Yeah, and my definition of a sleeper is kind of, you know, people, they could be rated highly, but people haven't really talked about him or them on, like, a regular basis. And, you know, so, you know, everybody knows Rashad Williams is the four-star, and people have been talking about other guys in the class, too. The guy I think people are sleeping on is David Baker. He's reminds me a lot of Ty Freifogel. He played at Tecina in Indianapolis, which it was a former IPS school. I think it's in the Catholic School League now. And he was the best player on that team. He was the best athlete on that team. And he put up some numbers during his career that were very, very good. And he's the number one rated wide receiver in the state of Indiana. Now, IU loses both Nick Westbrook and Donovan Hale, and I think he could slide right in and, you know, be a depth piece and get some production there. So I think people are sleeping on David Baker on offense. On defense, I don't have a sleeper on defense, so I'll just go Christopher Keys is my sleeper on defense. I don't know how.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
I don't, and he's the true definition of a sleeper. He only had two offers, one from Jackson State, one from Indiana. He's from some really podunk town in Mississippi that even Kane Walmack, who's from a podunk town in Mississippi, says is a more podunk town than that. how he only got two offers is unbelievable. He's 6 foot. He's 175. He's in SEC country. I mean, it must be really in the sticks for nobody to notice that this kid was playing there. His tape looks good. He has good ball skills. He looks like a really good athlete. Now, I don't know if he'll be that Tywin Mullen and play much as a true freshman, and especially with, you know, the emergence of Reese Taylor and M. Mullen playing well. You also have Jalen Williams, the corner, not the tight end, in there as well. So he's my definition of a sleeper on defense. Nobody, he had two offers, one Power 5 offer. I think Jackson State's a FCS school, too. So he's my sleeper. But now let's get into instant impact guys, TJ, and I'll give you my instant impact guys first, and we'll go three each. I think number one, I think Demaje Lewis is one of your guys who's going to be an instant impact guy on the defensive line. It's a must. It's a position of need. You had Juan Harris leave the class, leave the school for personal reasons. And you've just got a lot of young players up there. And to add somebody as talented as Demaje Lewis up there, it really helps. Secondly, Dylan Powell is a guy who's brought into play right away. It's kind of obvious as a graduate transfer. He could slide in, and let's all assume that Coy Cronk's coming back. He could slide in at that right guard or center position and replace either Stepniak or Little John with you know, you'd probably see him and Harry Kreider at that right guard center, some combination of those two on the right side of that interior line as well. And you know, he played well at Stanford. I think the reason you see all these Stanford grad transfers is because the coaching staff is going young and nobody wants to stick around for it. So their loss is IU's gain. And then finally, I think Rashawn Williams is going to be one of those guys who plays a lot as a freshman next year. And he's got the ball skills. He's got the speed. He's another 6'2" wide receiver. It gives them a more dynamic, you know, if you look at him and David Baker and you compare them to Donovan Hale and Nick Westbrook, you know, Hale was 6'4". He's a big-bodied receiver. He could go up and grab it, but he was never really that dynamic. He could go up and catch the ball, had good hands. And then Nick Westbrook, his sophomore year, he was very dynamic. I think that knee injury really robbed him of some athleticism. But I think Rashawn Williams is a step up above him in terms of athleticism post knee surgery for Westbrook. So it's almost a natural fit. Just to, hey, those two guys are, you know, as long as they're ready to play mentally, should physically be ready to go and contribute. How about you, TJ?
Yeah, and Rashawn Williams is a physical guy, too. If you watch his highlight film from a very good football program in Detroit, he's very physical route runner, really aggressive going to get the ball in the air, and really good hands. I mean, he's an exciting prospect for sure. So he's one that stands out, and it's a position that you certainly can come in and play early. And then Lewis, obviously, defensive lineman. You know, Indiana brings back a lot on the defensive line, but they need difference makers along that line. Lewis could be that. He's a player that really IU's hoping can provide pressure in the backfield from the interior of the line. If you can get a push from the interior, collapse the pocket, or get penetration and stop ball carriers in the backfield or bust up plays, you know, that's a huge, huge asset. That's what IU's looking for from him. I think you're right with Powell. I think if Indiana's coaches had their druthers and they could pick kind of how the offensive line progresses and works out, I think they'd probably choose Bedford and Jones at tackle, Coy Cronk at left guard, and then Kreider and Powell starting at center and right guard. And then you've got, you know, guys like Rafferty, Weaver, that are, you know, coming back as young players, redshirt freshmen, sophomores, that can provide your depth for you and maybe, you know, give you some time and hopefully blow out wins later or earlier in the season. So I think that's how they would like to have it happen. So I think those are probably the three guys that jump off right away. If there's one more player that I think could be kind of a instant impact guy, I think it could be Bryson Bonds, safety prospect that can play at both safety positions or even Husky in some formations or against certain offenses. He's got good length, looks physically ready to go. His frame looks like he can add quite a bit of weight to it if he chooses to, or if the IU coaches have him do that and develop him physically. And I think, you know, very educated is not the right word, but very intelligent player and person, had offers to Ivy League schools and I think a couple of military academies as well. I think he's going to be mentally ready to step in and contribute if needed. And honestly, I feel like there's an opportunity for some playing time at safety, a spot that Indiana struggled somewhat this season. So I think Bonds could be another guy. But for the most part, I think you'll look at this class being one that probably doesn't see a whole lot of guys play more than four games. And there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah, and, you know, they play pretty good high school ball in Texas, too.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to drop that point that, you know, there are other places that play high school football other than the state of Florida. But, yeah, Bryson Bonds is
right. A
priority of this staff as well. You know, he kind of reminds me of Jamar Johnson a little bit. He's got good ball skills.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch his tape, the thing that drove me mad was that he had so many pass breakups, but only like one or two interceptions. But that just shows he has a nose for the ball. He could be his instincts take him to the right position, and you could coach up catching, get him on the jugs machine, catching tennis balls, and all those things. So I think we're in agreement here, TJ, that Rashawn Williams is the best prospect.
Yes. Yeah, Rashawn Williams is the best prospect. He has the makings of an NFL receiver. And, you know, I'll repeat something that Rashawn Williams says he was told by Grant Hurd, IU's receivers coach. You know, Grant Hurd told Rashawn Williams, this is according to Williams, and we have no reason to doubt it's accurate, that he could come to Indiana, be one of the best, if not the best, receiver to wear an Indiana uniform. There have been quite a few good ones, but Williams does have the physical tools, and we hope the work ethic and mental capability to and the drive to get to those heights. I think, you know, we don't have any reason to anticipate that won't be the case, and he's got the physical tools to get himself to be a very high-level player for Indiana.
Yeah, and I think starting that Michigan, getting guys from Michigan's huge too. You know, it's a kid that had interest from Michigan State and schools up there, and so
he was determined to leave the state. Yeah, he didn't want to stay in the state, but he could have played at either one of the big schools in Michigan if he chose to.
Yeah, it's a guy that they wanted. So you're taking a guy that your opponents wanted and bring him to IU, which is always a plus. And then, TJ, two more spots open, according to Tom Allen. Defensive end, who do we see IU going after? And then who's kind of the best offensive player that they'll go after as well for that second spot?
Well, I think that if they can land Jason Harris, that would be the home run. If that doesn't happen, and I think the IU staff will know that before the public does, and if that doesn't happen, if it's not Harris, I kind of think that they will pursue grad transfer or JUCO options at that point to try and get somebody to come in and be a real immediate difference maker for them to get that pass rush going. I don't have any names. Other than, you know, you mentioned guys leaving Stanford, a guy that Indiana has had some interest in when he was a high school player at Center Grove, Javon Swan. He's leaving Stanford as a grad transfer, so, you know, maybe Indiana kicks the tires there, and maybe Dylan Powell has a relationship with him, and they can get that one going. I'm sure there's a lot of other options out there as well. If Jason Harris doesn't come through, and hey, maybe if Harris does, you still bring in a guy like Swan. That'd be a great get. But I think those are the two names that jump to my head. But that's the main position on defense. I really don't see it being another position on D. Offensively, probably best player available, maybe receiver. I saw that Javon Swinton, who is a very good athlete, kind of in the mold of a David Ellis, very, very good athlete. I saw that Tom Allen said, I thought initially it was going to be defensive back, but maybe it was missing on Alante Brown. They're going to start Swinton at receiver. So maybe that takes the need off for another receiver. But I think they'll probably look at a lot of different people and take best player available. You have some flexibility there on offense. There's not a desperate need for the Hoosiers there anywhere. I do want to point out while we're talking offense, Indiana brought in a number of really good preferred walk-ons. I think the best preferred walk-on on paper that IU's had is Charlie Spiegel. He comes in as a running back / fullback from New Palestine. Just prolific career. We talked about it with Matt Weaver a couple weeks ago. He's an incredibly prolific player, and I've watched him a few times live, and I don't see any way that Spiegel does not end up having a positive impact on Indiana's football program. Like, it's a big addition, and I would not have minded spending a scholarship on him at all. I think he's going to be a very good player for Indiana over time, and he's the type of guy you just get in your program and watch good things happen with him. I'm not sure what they'll do on offense, but not really a desperate need there.
And people were concerned about his size. He's closer to 5'11", maybe even 6 foot than 5'9".
I think
you're right, TJ. It's a high reward, low risk type of thing. If it was all, scheme at New Palestine, and he comes in and doesn't do anything at IU, so be it. You didn't use a scholarship on him, but the reward of it is you could have a really good, hardworking running back who's going to make your team better every single day in practice, and may even may give you some production later on in his career, whether it be if he gets on the field as a freshman or later on in his career, he could be a kind of a guy like Ricky Brookins, who is that third down pass catching back, or could run or be an up back on kicks, or be that fullback in some of these offenses and have some sort of role on this team. So it was a no-brainer that as long as he wanted to come and walk on to IU, give him the spot. So hopefully everybody else was wrong on not recruiting him, and IU found a gem. I don't want to say a hidden gem, but it could be a gem nonetheless. All right, TJ, the other news in IU football that has people shaking in their boots. Offensive coordinator Kalen DeBoer has accepted the head coaching job at Fresno State. I just want to say congratulations to Coach DeBoer. Every time I talk to him, it was a great conversation about football. Always asked how I was doing at press conferences to the side. He's a really intelligent football coach, a really good football coach. And as soon as the Fresno State job opened, it was kind of a no-brainer that they would go after DeBoer as well. So good for him. And while it stinks that you don't get a year two out of Kalen DeBoer, it makes that IU offensive coordinator job that much more attractive. Now you could have a selling point of, hey, you're a hot young coordinator who wants to be a head coach. Well, come here, succeed at IU. We now have, if you want to claim Seth Luttrell as a head coach as well, you could go ahead and do that. But now you have Kalen DeBoer coming right from IU to being a head coach. Tom Allen said yesterday that he wanted to, the plan is to have him coach the bowl game. I think there's ongoing discussions between IU and Fresno State to have that work out. I think it should work out, especially with this is where the early signing period really comes in handy for IU is, you know, your first part of your signing class is done. I think there's a dead period coming up as well. And so it really doesn't hurt all that much to have the board coach IU in the bowl game, go back to Fresno State. There's no – Fresno State didn't make a bowl game. They're not working out. At least no – there's no workouts that a head coach could be at anyway. Now, he probably has some staff decisions to make and things like that. But, you know, all signs point to he should be able to coach the bowl game, which I think is great. But who do you see – do you see IU going outside of the program? Do you see IU promoting from within? What track do you see this hiring going down, or is it just too early to tell?
It is, in my opinion, it's too early to tell. I do think it's of note. Tom Allen was asked about people's interest in the job. He said, quote, "My phone's been blowing up." We know, according to Matt Weaver, who continues to do excellent work on Peaks, he posted that he has been told by, I don't know exactly who, but sources, that there is significant interest in the job from current assistants, including assistant coaches in the SEC. You know, good coaches see this thing as a really good position. It's a good job. People know what IU has coming back on offense. They know that they would have autonomy on the offense and that Tom Allen would be asking them to be the head coach of the offense. They know that success in that position does get you good things and additional opportunities. So, and as far as we know, the money is going to be there to pay a nice salary to a good candidate. So I think there's going to be opportunities for really good coaches to come in if they choose to go externally. If it's internal, it appears to be two candidates would be up for that. That'd be Nick Sheridan along with Mike Hart. So I don't know. We will see, but I do think it's too early to tell which direction Tom Allen's going to go. I'd expect resolution on it probably after the National Coaches Convention, which is January 12th to the 14th, I think. So probably a couple weeks after that, you'll expect resolution on it.
Yeah, and it's Tom Allen's comments yesterday said he wants to keep the same system or similar system, and
it's almost over.
It kind of means it might be an internal candidate that way. But let's remember, Kalen DeBoer didn't invent offensive football. He didn't invent the system that he ran. He's not the only person who could run it. He was just very good at what he did. And so it is a hot commodity job, I think. And I don't think Indiana's going to lowball anybody. I expect a similar – I think DeBoer was making $800,000. I expect something similar to that, whether it be, you know, $750 or $900, something in the ballpark of $800,000. I don't think that they're going to cheap out. I don't think promoting Mike Hart and Nick Sheridan is a cop out either. I think that, you know, if they feel comfortable that they're ready to take over the offense. I know Sheridan has experience as an OC at Western Kentucky. It didn't go too well, but he was young back then. He's still young now, but he's worked under different offensive coordinators, and we'll see what they do. And then, of course, then you have to go look for another position coach and all of those things. So it's going to be an interesting search for an offensive coordinator. I don't think IU's as desperate as everybody seems to think they are. It's a big deal to lose the offensive coordinator, but I don't think you need to get into a panic. It's certainly stinks to only have DeBoer for a year, but IU has the pieces on offense with Penix, the offensive line, which got boosted during National Signing Day. and the skill positions that make it really a real attractive place to be. Plus, he left for a head coaching job. It's not like he's leaving to go become the offensive coordinator at Purdue or Michigan State. It was a head coaching job at a place that he was there for 2 years and had some comfort, and it made sense, and it's good for him. I think in the long run, we'll see. It's going to depend on the hire that IU makes, but in the long run, it could be a positive for Indiana. You're now, it shows a healthy program that your coordinators are wanted people. And IU's going to, I have faith now after they had hired DeBoer. It just proves that that was the right hire, that they have, they have some credibility to go out and get a guy that they want and who will be good. So that's my take on the offensive coordinator, TJ. It's something that we'll keep an eye on. But other than that, it's 2 weeks to the day tomorrow for the bowl game. If you haven't joined our Bowl Mania group, do so. It's Hoosier Huddle Bowl Fun. Get to play for a T-shirt and stuff like that. Any final thoughts, TJ?
No, I'm looking forward to Tennessee. I hope everybody has a really nice Christmas and gets to spend time with your family. That's always my favorite time of the year. So hope everybody enjoys that, and we will get back with you for our bowl game preview podcast, which is very exciting sentence to say, to be able to have Indiana in a bowl game January 2nd. We'll have a preview of that along with continued in-depth coverage of that on Hoosier Huddle.
Yeah, our bowl preview show, we're probably going to do it on January 30th to let everybody enjoy their holiday week next week with Christmas starting and things like that. So, TJ, thanks for joining us today, talking about the early signing period, and we'll let everybody get back to prepping for the holiday of the new year and the bowl game. All right, that does it for tonight's podcast. I want to thank everybody for listening in. I also want to thank our Hoosier Huddle team. Yesterday went really, really well for us. Everybody put in hard work, and it's so much easier when everybody, is pulling along as a team. I think they did a fantastic job. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Amanda, Evan, Nate, Alex, TJ, Andrew. All you guys did an awesome, awesome job yesterday. So kudos on that. As far as everything else, come back to HoosierHuddle.com for all your Indiana updates. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. And again, if you want to play in the Bowl Mania group, there's a large group already that has joined. I don't know the exact numbers, but it looked like it was over 12. Join the fun, make your picks. You can win a T-shirt if you win the group. It is on ESPN.com. The Capital One Bowl Mania. It's under Hoosier Huddle Bowl Fun. And enjoy the bowl season. It starts tomorrow with the Bahamas Bowl. And Indiana plays Tennessee in the Taxpayer Gator Bowl January 2nd in Jacksonville, Florida at 7 p.m. If you're looking to go down to the game, they have excellent ticket packages. It looks like this game might sell out. If you look on Ticketmaster, go to the TaxpayerBowl.com. And they have everything lined up perfectly for you as well. All right, enjoy the rest of your evening. We'll be back, not next week, but on December 30th to preview the Taxpayer Gator Bowl. Enjoy the holiday season, and have a happy and safe new year.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car-selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.